Well, amen. It is an honor to be here. And, Daniel Goodman, I'm nobody. You can take that name and $2.50 and go to any McDonald's and it'll get you a cup of coffee. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here in the Lord's house. Always an honor to stand behind God's sacred desk. And I thank the Lord for meeting Brother Andrew and his family. And they have been a tremendous enrichment to my life and my family. It's been a blessing to know them. And I'm honored to be invited to stand in his pulpit. And as God has given for him to be pastor of this church, I want to let you know, I love your pastor. I really do. His family, I hope you do. I hope you do. I want to encourage you to love your pastor. And I'm not saying this because I'm his friend, but I'm saying this. I'm a pastor, and I pastor a great church. I really do. He didn't pay me enough to say this. Amen. Let me say, I'm carrying on. And no kidding, though. If he knew I was going to say this, he probably wouldn't let me preach. But anyway, I pastor a great church, and we don't have a great lot of people and so forth. But let me tell you what, our church loves their pastor, and they take care of us. They honor the man of God. They honor the office. And I'm just bragging on the Lord, what the Lord does through his people. And you be an encouragement. I can't tell you enough. I cannot tell you enough. Pray for your pastor. Pray for him. Pray for his wife. Pray for them both. Pray for him every morning you get up. Think about your pastor. Pray for him. Pray that God would direct him. Pray that God would direct him in his study. Pray that God would direct him in the messages that he preaches. Pray that God would help him in his home, strengthen him, and protect him and guard him at work and through his life. I mean it. I want to encourage you to do that for your pastor. He needs it. He needs it each and every day. Each and every day. And I thank the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for getting to meet him, bringing us together. And again, honored to be here with you here and to preach God's Word. If you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Luke in chapter 2. The book of Luke and chapter 2. Could somebody just tell me just right off the bat without looking, what is Luke chapter 2 about? Somebody tell me. Somebody say it. The birth of Christ. The birth. That's what they said. Amen. Could somebody say, is there anything else they know about Luke chapter 2? In Luke chapter 2. I want to bring you a hidden story that's here in Luke chapter 2 that a lot of people don't see and don't remember in Luke chapter 2. And I want to preach on this subject on tear up the script. Tear up the script. Tear up the script. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. I want to start there, and then I'm going to read through verse 38. Follow with us, please, if you would, in God's holy word. Amen. Look there. The Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising, of the child, his name was called," say that out loud with me, "Jesus." Amen. "Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem and present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Praise the Lord. "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles," that's you and me, amen, "and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. He said, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now here's our text in verse 37, 38, and 39, these three verses. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's please go to the Lord in prayer. You pray with me, please, as I pray. Father, we come before Thy throne of grace. We're thanking You for the opportunity. Lord, the precious privilege that is ours to assemble ourselves together in this church house, Lord. God, under the banner of Thy precious sweet holy name, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious blood that was shed on Calvary, Lord. And Lord, that was not left there, but taken to glory and applied to the mercy seat on our behalf, God. Lord, we're thankful, Lord Jesus, for salvation full and free. Lord, I'm thankful for every soul represented here. And Lord, I think about our church back home. I pray for Brother Babcock, Lord, as he preaches the Word of God there this morning and this evening. I pray You'd fill him with Your power, give him that unction from heaven, Lord. I pray You'd feed Your sheep and help Your people, Lord. I ask the same here. Lord, I yield myself to You the best way I know how. Lord, I claim the precious promise of the power of the precious sweet Holy Ghost of God. Lord, enable us, Lord, to feed Thy sheep, to preach forth with boldness and power Thy holy word. For Lord, I realize I'm nothing and never could I do anything without You. Lord, I realize it is nothing of my own self and flesh, Lord, that would help Your people. But God, it is only Your holy word. And Lord, only what You can impart into their heart and what they could receive, Lord, that which You have declared. And God, I pray You'd save the sinner nearest hell, and I pray You'd bring the wayward home. Lord, I pray You bless the invitation to Your honor and Your glory. Help us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to think about this thought on tear up the script. You know, here we find in our text, the first couple of chapters, we had not long, I'm sure you yourselves, had been reading about the birth of Christ. About how that, as John had said in John 1 and 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We find that how the Lord Jesus came by promise, by fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament and came born of a virgin, my friend, to the exact timing, to the exact place, my friend, to be the Savior of all mankind. We find here tucked in and placed inside the story of the birth of the Savior, a story about a little lady, a story about a woman, a story about one Anna here, according to the Scriptures. Listen, what an awesome thought that is. To think every time we find ourselves going through the book of Luke and here finding ourselves in this passage, in this text, and thinking about the birth of Christ, the Lord has tucked in here a testimony. My friend, a story, a truth to be a blessing to you and to me. He says, as you're thinking of me, He said, I want you to think about this little lady. I want you to think about one Anna who loved me so very much. And He put her right there in the text, in the very portion of Scripture that would tell us about His coming, being born of a virgin. My friend, let's look at this passage. One Anna. You know, think about this for just a moment. One Anna. The Bible said in verse 36, and there was one Anna. You know, there was only one of her. Only one, the Bible says. You know, there's only one Andrew McAfee, amen. Right. There's only one Daniel Goodman. My wife said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, this world couldn't bear another one. Amen. Listen, there's only one of you. There's only one of you. You know something? There's only one life you can live. I have only one life to live. And you know something? Mine is different than Brother Andrew's. My life is there, placed in Louisiana, and the Lord has moved us in different places to help being part of planting churches, and we see that, you know, God has done things with my life there in that place. But you know, something, it's like your life. God planted you in a certain place with a certain family. And there's things in your life that comes about that other people have not experienced. Other people have not went through. Other people have not known about. There's only one you. And there was one Anna. I want to look here at some things in her life that we can find, that we can help our life from her testimony that God placed in His Holy Word. And all the way, I'm telling you, for every young man, to every lady, there's something here that you need to grab a hold of. I want you to think about this. A godly testimony. A godly testimony she lived. A life, somebody said of a truth, when mercy rewrote my life. When mercy rewrote my life. You think about here, it says here in this passage, you think about this. It says, one Anna, a prophetess. Here, the daughter of Phanuel. He said, a tribe of Aser. And she was of a great age. Now, we understand that according to the text here, we understand she was at least over 90 years old at the time. At least over 90 years old. First, she had been married for 7 years, and she had been a widow for 84 years. Four score. A score is 20. Four score, 4 times 20 is 80. And 84 years a widow. Man, can you imagine? 84 years a widow. Married 7 years, and a widow for 84 years. The Bible says here in our text that in the passage she was lived with an husband and husband. That's one singular. One husband, amen. One whom God had prepared for her. One whom God made for her. And she was with him 7 years from her virginity. Boy, what a testimony here that when she got married, she went to the altar pure. Amen. Boy, that's still something good to be said about purity. It's still something good to be taught. Listen, in the homes and in the church house, it's something good to be taught of a truth, friend, that God loves purity, amen. And it's good for the young girl, it's good for the young man, friend. It's good that husbands should keep themselves pure and only for their wife, and a wife should keep herself pure and solely dedicated and separated unto only her husband, amen. And then it tells us here a testimony how she loved God. She loved God. Listen, she loved her husband. She was faithful to him for the 7 years that God had given him. But she loved God. She loved God. And the Bible said she was of a great age. There lived her husband for 7 years. In verse number 37, she was a widow of a fourscore and 4 years, which departed not from the temple. Can you imagine? Think about this. She loved God. You know, I find that she loved God because she loved the church. Amen. She departed not from the temple. My friend, I have a hard time, listen, understanding how people who say they love God and you don't ever see them around the house of God. You don't ever find them at the church house. Friend, you don't ever find them in the Sunday school hour. You don't ever find them around the church when the door is open and given opportunity for us to be assembled as the Lord had commanded us in Hebrews 10 and 25 that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Amen. But listen, we are to assemble, come together so much more as we see the day approaching, and I believe we're closer to the coming of Christ than we've ever been before. Amen. If the Lord had warned through the writings of the New Testament that we are to watch for His return, if the Apostle Paul said that he himself was watching for the return of Christ, listen, how so much more should we be prepared and watch unto the east, my friend, for the Lord is coming soon. Amen.
But she loved the things that God loved. She loved the house of God. She departed not. Listen, you understand when she was, when she was married there, her husband, when he was alive, she loved him. She gave herself to him. She was faithful unto him. But at the same time, being a born again child of the King, a child of God, listen, she loved the Lord. And my friend, we find that when he passed away, she didn't stop loving God. She continued loving God. And she was faithful unto God. And she kept herself around the house of God. She kept herself busy in the place and in the will of God in her life. We find that she departed not from the temple of God, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Let me show you, she served God. She served the Lord. Listen, she was doing what cherubims and seraphims do. You know, the created beings of the Lord in heaven, in the heavens, there, the cherubims and the seraphims, you know what they do? The created angels of God, they serve the Lord. My friend, there what she did was just exactly what the cherubim and seraphims were doing. She spent her life in service to God. Listen, that is not strange. If you love God, listen, you'll love the things that He loves, and you'll love doing the things that please Him. And my friend, God loved the church, and He loved it so much He gave Himself for it. She stayed around the house of God because she loved God. She served the Lord. Amen. We find she filled her life as a widow sometimes and oft times. And think about a young widow too, I'm sure. She's only been married 7 years. She wasn't very old when her husband passed away. Women at that time married at a young age. I'm sure some of you in here can remember, listen, couples marrying at a very young age. Women were very young in their marriage. My grandpa, who was born 1907, and worked in the sawmills of Louisiana and places, and when him and my grandmother married, my grandmother was 13 years of age when she got married to my grandfather. They married and lived in a sawmill camp, lived in an old army tent out in the cattle pasture. Now, friend, if there was a fellow that come to marry my daughter at 13 years of age to take her off to live in an army tent in a cattle pasture, I'd have blew his head off. Amen. He wouldn't have got past saying, "Can I marry her on this day?" He'd have been dead. Amen, brother. But everybody tells me, well, things were different in those times. My grandmother and grandfather married and lived, married close to 60 years. Raised 6 children together. Had 5 daughters and then had my daddy. Thank God. Amen. Had 5 daughters and then my daddy. And but staying faithful to the Lord, served the Lord. And let me tell you, she at a widow at a young age, you know what? A lot of times, you know, people say, "Well, I can't be alone. I got to do this. I got to do that." But you know what she did? She gave her life to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm gonna give myself to serving You." We find that she served God with fastings and prayers. Listen, I thank God for the spiritual and the faithful women around the house of God. You've heard it said before. I know I'm not the first one to say this thought. But you know, if it wasn't for some of the ladies and the praying ladies, the prayer warriors of old, we've lost a lot of that, you know. The prayer warriors, the people who've given themselves to pray, to serve God in the prayer closet, in the secret place of Psalm 91, and pray. Oh, how we need that today. I'm telling you, we need some faithful men of God. We need some men of prayer around the house of God. But I'm telling you, I realize and I know, I was raised in a little old church back in the woods. Where my daddy pastored. And listen, if it wasn't for some of the faithful women of God in that church wouldn't have made it. Amen. I'm thankful for some ladies, amen, who love God and pray. Listen, and they pray not just to pray prayers, but they pray with fasting. That was deep supplication. My friend, with a brokenness and a deep heart. My friend, that they separated themselves apart from their food, apart from their daily life, apart from the things that maybe their flesh or maybe their own heart desired to do, and gave themselves to be separated over unto the Lord for prayer, maybe on behalf of the preacher, maybe on behalf of a family that's going through suffering or trial or something. The Bible says she coming in that instant gave thanks. She coming in that instant. What instant was that? Well, all that we learned so far, what instant, what happened? What was the instant that we learned about? Well, that was her being made a widow. How many of you ever went to a funeral of somebody in your family and afterward returned to the church to give thanks? I'm thankful
that so-and-so passed away in my family. That's kind of strange. That's almost strange saying it, is it not?
What if you've seen a lady whose husband had passed away? A young lady, married just 7 years, she came, and here she is thanking God.
I know some of you ladies said, boy, I thank the Lord for killing my husband. Amen. I pray, but he ain't done it yet. Amen. I think it's only my wife that does that. Amen. Okay, I'll pass that on. That didn't go over very well. I'm sorry.
But she gave thanks. You know, the Bible says that we're to be thankful in all things.
Right.
Thankful not just for the good times, but for the hard times, for the suffering times.
We're to be thankful. The Bible said, and she coming gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption. You know what she said? She said, I got a purpose in my life. And my purpose is Jesus.
She said, the Bible says she spake of Him to everyone who looked for redemption.
Can you think with me just for a moment? Think with me. How many people have you met looking for Jesus? You say, preacher, I ain't never had nobody come to me and saying I want to know your Jesus. But let me ask you this. Were you looking for Him? Were you looking for Him?
This Anna, she went looking. She was looking for people who were looking for the Savior, who were looking for redemption. And she would come to people. You know, hey, listen, it's easy as a man, as a guy. I love hunting and fishing.
You want to talk for a little while, bring up the subject of coon hunting. Listen, I'll sit and we'll jaw. I'm in for a while. We can talk about hunting and fishing. We can talk about ladies, we can talk about a lot of things, can we not? The things of our interest, and I don't know a lot of your interest and what have you, and a lot of things you like to do and what have you. But we can talk about that. But you know what she liked to talk about? Jesus. She liked to talk about Jesus.
She liked to talk about Jesus here. You know, I found this ain't strange to her because she so loved Him. She said, I'm in love. She said, listen, my husband passed away, but listen, I'm still in love. I'm still in love. As a dear friend of ours, Brother Osteen, his dear wife, passed away here not just long ago, about 3 years ago when they first got married. And listen, after they had been married just a little while, Brother Osteen had gotten saved. He wasn't yet saved yet, and God had called him to preach later on. But after they had been married, I think it was Sister Osteen, what have you, told him, said, I want to tell you something. And he said, what is that? And he said, I'm in love. And said, oh, he said, well, his heart started beating. Praise God, you're in love. And he said, I'm in love with another man. And she said, he said, another man? And she said, yes, said, his name's Jesus. And said, I want you to know I love Him more than I love you. Amen. I love Him. And you know what? Every time you met Sister Jean, she was a perfect picture of a lady in every definition of the term. But let me tell you what, if you talked to her very long about anything, she talked about Jesus around you. And the Bible, listen, she talked to them, all that looked for redemption. My, what a testimony of this lady. What an epitaph.
When she passed away, the preacher didn't have to do much eulogizing. For her life already spoke for herself. Her life already spoke for herself. Now I'm talking about tear up the script. I have here three pieces of paper. I have one with Anna wrote on the top of it. I have one with God wrote on the top of it. I have another one right here with yours wrote on the top of it.
We find here in our text, Anna. You think about this for just a moment. Anna's a young lady. How many of you ladies in here had a hope chest when you were a teenage girl getting ready to be married?
Some of you had a hope chest. My little girl has a hope chest at home.
In that hope chest, you know what you did? They put quilts. They put things given to them for them to have on their wedding day. You put things in there because things you hoped and looked forward to using in anticipation of being married and being with the one that God would give you and you to be together. You know something, Hannah, we find her here, listen, in our text, listen, what she's doing here, listen, in this text, it tells us that she's getting ready to get married. And you know, a young lady, when she's getting ready to get married, she's praying and she's thinking of the man that she would love to marry. She's looking for that Prince Charming. She's looking for that knight in shining armor. She's looking for that man who would sweep her off her feet and love her and appreciate her and adore her. Listen, as a good man should in their life. But here, listen, she finds him and God brings them together and God lets them be married, and what a glorious wedding that she had. And oh, listen, she's got dreams and she thinks, you bear with me, you think about Anna, she's here and she's married, and all she could think of, oh, listen, I can't wait. Listen, we're married and our first year together, how wonderful it is, and our second year to be married together. My, how they talked together and how they walked together and loved each other and adored each other. And listen, he just romanced her and hugged her, and the times that they had together, the quiet times, holding hands and just sitting on the front porch swing, amen. And she could think about, hey, she would go and she would cook for him. And when he come home from work, he'd have his meal prepared, and they'd sit together at the table, or they'd sit together on the front porch swing, or they'd walk together in the yard and just spending time together, being with each other. And all she could think about, we're going to grow old together. No, I think this generation's missing a lot of that. You know, to think about, hey, this is the person I want to grow old with, amen. Instead of trying to look for what's on the other side of the fence, amen, or the grass out yonder. But here all she can think, hey, I can't wait till we celebrate our 25th anniversary. Or my, she would see somebody married for 50 years and she thought, hey, I'm going to do that with my husband. We're going to have a 50-year anniversary. And then she'd see somebody with a pastoral load of kids and said, oh, we're going to have a wonderful family of kids. And I can think about my first Christmas with the kids, and we're going to have our kids' Christmas. And my, how precious it was around the celebrating Christmas. And you think about now, she's thinking about her children graduating school and her husband going to the graduation. And her husband and them, her children finding their love and getting married. She thinks about all this. She's wanting to have that time together with them, their children. And she can't wait. One day, my children are going to bring their children to the house. And we're going to have Christmas, and I'm going to prepare dinner because I'm going to be grandma one day. And we're going to have all that, and we're going to sit around the table. And we're going to be a family, and daddy's going to sit at the head of the table. And I'm going to sit here, and the children are going to sit around, the grandchildren. And we just, my, how wonderful it's going to be. How wonderful it's going to be. You know, that was Hannah's script. All the dreams of her life, all the wants, all what she looked forward to. But God said, Hannah, you're not going to get a 10-year anniversary. Hannah, you're not going to celebrate a 9-year anniversary. You're not even going to celebrate an 8-year anniversary. Hannah, because I want your husband to come home. I want your husband here in heaven. Hannah, I'm going to ask you to tear up your script. Hannah, I'm going to ask you to give me your script of your dreams. Hannah, I'm going to ask you to give me that 25-year anniversary. To give me that 50-year anniversary. Hannah, those dreams you had of being together and around the family table with the children, Hannah, I want you to give me that. Hannah, I know that was the greatest desire of your heart, but Hannah, would you let me have it and give me your script? Said, Hannah, I know that the glory of old men is their children's children. Said, but Hannah, I want you to give me that. I want you to give me that. Hannah, those Christmas dinners, Hannah, those cherished years of growing old together, Hannah, I want you to give me that. Hannah, would you? Hannah, would you please give me your script? Is that because you know why, Hannah? Hannah, I got a script for you. I got a script for you. And Hannah, my script's for my honor and glory. Hannah, would you give me your script? And say, take mine and glorify me with your life. Glorify me with your days. Hannah, I want you to get around the house of God. Get around the church house. Hannah, I've got a lot of souls that need me. I've got a lot of young women. I've got a lot of ladies. And I've got a lot of folks who need to hear about me. And Hannah, I want you to give me your script. And Hannah, let me use you to help many come to me. Yeah. Hannah, let me use you for my honor and for my glory. Hannah says, Lord, here's my script. My Bible says she was thankful. Hannah wasn't bitter. How many of you realize that it would have been easy for Hannah, just been married 7 years and her husband died, she could have got bitter. But she didn't get bitter. She was thankful. And she was faithful. She was faithful unto the Lord. Could you bear with me just a minute? How many of you heard of Dr. Joe Boyd, the great evangelist of old? Dr. Joe Boyd, my friend, a great evangelist, church planter. God used him in great and many ways. Dr. Joe Boyd was a first string NFL pick. I forgot for what team it was. But God said, Joe, I don't want you to go to the NFL. I want you to preach. I don't want to use you. He said, Joe, he said, I want you to give me your script. He said, Joe, I want you to give me that time for the NFL. I want you to give me that part of your life. And I want you to take my script. I want you to take my script for your life. You think about this year. How many of us already, we have the dates planned out. Y'all have this on the back of your bulletin. And just as sure, yes, we got things planned and you ought to do that. But you know, you got things planned in your life for this year. This is just the beginning, the very first part of the year 2017. But I want to ask you this. What if God said, I want your calendar. And I want you to carry mine with me this year. You know, because we don't know what's coming. Dr. J.D. Weedo, listen, one who I heard at first giving his testimony in this thought, Brother J.D. Weedo, a great preacher, a great man of God. I love to hear him preach. He preaches every time and always with tears. And Brother Weedo said this. He said he wanted to be a dairy farmer. That's what he desired to be growing up. His brother bought him his first Holstein cow and a calf, rather, in fact, and he raised it. He said he did that and first thing you know, saved his money and worked so hard, spent every dollar on getting some calves and some cattle. He owned up to, brother, 92 Holstein heifers at one time. He was getting ready to go into the dairy business. And Dr. Joe Boyd asked him one day, sitting at their table, his daddy was a preacher. He said, he called him David, his name not David, but he said, what you going to be when you grow up? What you going to do with your life? All he thought, he said, I want to be a dairy farmer. I want to be a dairy farmer. He said, let me ask you this. What are you going to do for God? What are you going to do for God? He said, you know what ended up happening? God said, give me your script. He said, I want to give you mine. And he called him to preach. Used him to plant churches and reach souls by the multitude. He said, I think it was a pretty good swap. Because he said, his script's going to what's going to amount to for eternity's sake. Let me tell you, Brother Jerry Pertell, a dear preacher, friend of ours, he was an engineer down for the oil field things in South Louisiana. He made over six figures, in his life. And God told him one day, he moved up in the company so fast, God was, blessing him in his life in that effort. But there was a day that came and said, Jerry, I want you to swap scripts with me. I got a script for you from now on. I want you to quit your job. And I want you to live by faith, trusting me. I want to use you to reach children, to reach young people with the gospel. And he walked away from his job. He told the people, they said, man, do you realize what kind of money you're making? You realize how much money's coming? He said, you're the highest paid employer we have. Employee we have. And they said, you're walking away to do what? Said to live by faith and reach young people with the gospel. And he's been doing that now, Brother Jerry's, I forgot how old he is. Think about so many people. There was a dear lady named Betty Clark in a little church, a little country church I grew up in. She sang special. She did a lot of things for the Lord. Her husband was my Sunday school teacher. She was another Sunday school teacher.
And she was supposed to have a little surgery. And I apologize for saying little surgery. She was supposed to have an outpatient type surgery that ladies have at a certain time in their life. She went to have this surgery. And in going in, they went to do the procedure and they opened her up and the doctor saw cancer. The doctor saw her insides were just riddled with cancer. The doctor opened her up some more and looked, and it was just more cancer everywhere he looked. He didn't even perform the surgery. He sewed her back up. And he called in her husband. And he called in her children. And he said, "Mr. Clark," he said, "I want to tell you something. Your wife has cancer. She's so riddled with cancer. We didn't even do the surgery. I just sewed her back up. She'll be here 2 weeks before she's gone. She won't live to more than 2 weeks." Brother J.W. Clark looked at the doctor and said, "With the faith she has and the faith I got, she'll go home." 2 weeks later, she went home. Went home. Not heaven, but she went home. God gave her over 2 more years, some 2.5 years, by His grace. They drove, I forget how many miles, across the worst road in the state of Louisiana in a single cab Ford pickup truck. She would come to church, Sister Betty would come in there. She would grab all them children, tell them of the wonderful goodness of God, the grace of God. She continued to teach Sunday school and teach these young little girls and teach these young little boys of the love of God and how much love God had for them. And then she would come by here and she would get to sing a special. And my friend, for as far as I can remember, the 2.5 years something plus that God given her, every time she sang a special, she said, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus." You know what that song was? "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus." My friend, oh listen, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever. Y'all know that hymn? She sang that every special until the Lord called her home. I was there at her home, at her bedside, when the Lord was about to call her home. You know what she sang? "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." You know what the Lord said, "Betty, I want your script. Betty, would you give me your script? Would you do this to your script? And Betty, would you do this for mine? Would you take my script?" You know, we see that's what Anna did. Can I tell you, let me give you one more and I'm done. There's a little couple. Matter of fact, I'm pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church over there. Church is 50, going on 54 years old. I'm the second pastor there. Brother John DeLalio come out of Natchez, Mississippi, up under Dr. James Crumpton, a Westside Baptist Church, and planted Maranatha Baptist in Monroe. A young preacher with his wife went there. In getting there, they had two little boys. They had Mark, who was 4. And little Daniel, he was 2 years old. And planning and church planning, there's a lot of... "Hey, I'm Brother Daniel Goodman. I pastor Maranatha Baptist Church. I want to invite you. I'd love to have you come by and be with us this Sunday if you don't have a church home to go to. And while I'm here, listen, could I have a word of prayer with you? And I thank you. I appreciate you letting me pray with you. But you know what? Let me ask you this before I pray. If you died today, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior?" Well, there's a whole lot of that in a pastor's life, in a Christian's life. You see, they had their script, raising 2 boys, going to see them go to school, go to college. One particular day, they was out visiting. Went in this home, not, "How you doing? I'm Brother John DeLalio. This is Sue, my wife." Miss Sue was holding Brother Dan. He was 2 years old. Just took his first few steps that week for the first time. Mark was 4. The husband and wife said, "Come on in. Y'all come on in. Come on. We'd love to visit. Y'all want some coffee?" They invited him in and came in. Brother John, Miss Sue sat on the couch. Put little Dan there beside him, 2 years old. Mark, 4, they had some kids there. They ran off and played in the bedroom while they was there talking to them about the Lord, talking to them about Jesus and inviting them to church and helping them know the Lord. Mark went off with the little boys, and one of the little boys in the home, and please, I want you, one of the little boys in the home went in Daddy's room and found a .22 pistol. He found that .22 pistol and came in there, and Mark thought it was a toy. Mark thought it was just a... So he came around, got in the bedroom, which was right across there. Mark, all he saw was his daddy and his mom and brother sitting on the couch. And for some reason, at the time, Brother John stood up and was standing there and had got in front of Brother Dan a little bit. And Mark seen his daddy and he went, pow! And that .22 pistol went off. And a .22 long rifle bullet went through Brother John DeLalio's thigh. Man, it happened, scared them to death. You know, they wasn't expecting it. Come from the bedroom, coming there to them. And Mark, this is Brother John Missou's son, had shot and it hit Brother John in the thigh. Well, in the excitement and looking, we've got to go. And he was in awful pain, but he could make it out to the car. And they grabbed the baby and little Dan, and they put him in the back seat. And this is before car seats. This is some 50 years ago. They put him in the car seat and they rushed down the road to the hospital. And on the way, they come to a stop sign, and Brother John stopped at the stop sign, and Dan fell out of the back seat and on the back floorboard. And this is before car seats and all this stuff like that. Fell out of the back seat and the floorboard. Brother John reached over the car seat, and when he went to grab Dan, Brother Daniel, he felt of his shirt. And he picked his hand, and it was wet, and it was full of blood. The .22 bullet had went through his thigh and left his thigh and hit Brother Daniel in the collarbone, a 2-year-old little boy, and ricocheted off his collarbone and hit his spine and zigzagged and cut his spinal cord right in here. And Brother Daniel was paralyzed as a baby from here all the way to his feet. They brought him to hospitals. Brought him all kind of places to try to see him well and to be able to walk. Doctor said, there's nothing we can do. Remember, this is 50-something years ago. Nothing we can do. They continued going for Jesus. Miss Sue continued to carry around. She wanted this little boy. You wanted your little baby boys to grow up and walk. You wanted to see them take their steps and to grow up and be little boys, be little football players and baseball players. And you know what? Daniel never got to do that because he was crippled and paralyzed. As they went around visiting and knocking doors and building a church, Daniel was paralyzed from here down. Brother Daniel right now is 52 years old. He's our adult Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about the one who's paralyzed from here down. He's our adult Sunday school teacher. He's our song leader at our church. He wears braces. He walks on crutches. He can't walk still. He's paralyzed from here down. Brother Daniel, God told Sue and John DeLalio, would you give me your script? I got a script for you that I want you to bear. I want you to carry my script for my honor, for my glory. I want you to carry my script. Brother Dan dreams of a little boy. You imagine he loves sports. Brother Dan will stand in front of the church and he said, I want to give you my testimony. What God did for me by His mercy. He said, I love baseball. He could sit there and give you stats on every baseball player, every basketball player. He could tell you things about teams and so forth. He learned all that. He said, I love sports so much it would have been a god to me. He said, I would probably be a Major League Baseball player right now. He said, if God wouldn't have did this. He said, God said, Dan, give me your script and carry my script for me. Brother Dan's also an 8th grade math teacher. He's got 2 degrees from finishing college. He said, Dan, give me your script. Take my script. Brother Dan also does not miss in all the years of being at church, he does not miss Thursday night soul winning. Every Thursday, he gets in his car that's been made where he can drive it. He's married. He's got a little girl. He brings his wife. They don't miss a service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
In the worst of weather, he ain't missed a service. Every Thursday. It takes him 2 hours to get up and get everything ready. It takes him too much time to get bathed. When he gets off from teaching a whole day at school, he still goes after church and he's in his crutches. And he'll go door to door. I'm Dan DeLalio. I'm a member of Maranatha Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you. On the back right here, they'll tell you how you can know 100% for sure how you can go to heaven. Could I take a Bible and share with you in God's Word how you can be saved? And he does it, you know. How easy would it have been for him to be bitter? God, my mom and daddy was serving you. My mom and daddy was knocking doors for you. And you did this to me. How easy would it have been for Brother John and Miss Sue to say, God, we were serving you. We were planning your church. And you allowed this to happen to our son. And God had the nerve to allow our other son. God, you could have stopped this. God, you could have done something about this. But they never got bitter. They were thankful for the grace of God that God gave him life. And they're faithful. Brother John will be 85 years old in May. Sister Sue will be 85 years old in February. Sister Sue's on oxygen because her dad was a chain smoker and she has emphysema from when she was a little girl. Sister Sue, 84 years old. Until just a few months ago, she visited a bus route every Friday and Saturday carrying an oxygen tank. God said, Sue, I want your script. Sue, would you carry my script? Would you let me write it out for you? Can I ask you? Would you please? Can I ask you? This year, you got a script. You got a script for your children, for your grandchildren, for your life this year. What if God would say, would you give me this year? Would you give me your script? I know you got plans. I know you got a lot of stuff you're wanting to do. Could I give you mine? Would you take my script? Would you live for my glory? Would you give it to me? Would you be willing to say, God, I want you to write it. And God, whatever you choose to do, by your power, I want to glorify you. Some of you here, I don't know everybody here. I don't know your stories. I have no brother. We've talked about the wonderful blessings of this church and all of you being so faithful. But Brother Andrew has not told me anything about any of you. I don't know none of your stories. I don't know who you are. Have you ever been born again? Some of you maybe have a script and you got big plans, but you've never been born again. God says, you know what? Your script leads to hell if you're lost and not saved. I want you to give me your script and let me give you mine. Because mine carries eternal life. Mine has me as your shepherd. Mine has me as your provider. Mine has me in my power being your provisions. Mine has me being your Lord. Mine has heaven wrote on it. Would you give me yours? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. I thank you for the time together. I thank you for your people. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd bless the church. God, that we would give up our script, Lord. That we would give up our script and be willing to receive yours. Lord, that we would lay our script at the altar and pick up yours and say, God, I want your script. And I want to be like Anna, Lord. I want to be like Anna. I want to be faithful. I want to be like Anna, Lord. I want to be thankful. Lord, I don't want to be bitter. I want to be faithful, Lord. And God, I want to tell everybody about you. In Jesus' name. Let me ask you this before we have an invitational song. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. Would there be somebody here and say, Preacher, I'm lost. Preacher, I'm not saved. I've never been born again. Preacher, I don't know Christ as my personal Savior, but I'd like to be saved. Listen, I want to pray for you.
I'll not come to you, call your name out. I'll not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Would there be one say, preacher, I'm lost. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Would there be one, you slip your hand up and right back down. I'm not coming to you. I'm not calling your name. I'm not embarrass you. In no way, I just want to pray for you. Would there be one say, preacher, I'm lost. I'm not saved. All right, let me ask you this. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, would there be somebody here to say, preacher, God rang my bell. God is asking me to give up my script. And I need God's script. I need to take His script. Brother Goodman, God spoke to my heart. Would there be one said, preacher, you pray for me. God wants me to take His script. And I need to lay mine down. Thank you for being honest. I see that. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Lord, I love You and I thank You, Lord, for these wonderful folks. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would do a work of grace and mercy in their life. Lord, I pray You'd give them strength, Lord, to hold the script high and say it's all for Him. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that my life, it's a gift from Him, and I want to give it back as to His honor and His glory. I pray for these. You'd strengthen them and help them, give them wisdom and prudence and understanding, Lord. God, give them, Lord, Your enabling power. Lord, to do that is what is beyond themselves. Lord, help them. Lord, in Jesus' name. Would we all stand for just a moment if you're able? I'm going to ask the pianist to play them, say a song of their choice. If you need to come to an old-fashioned altar, you come. Maybe you need to get a piece of paper and write God's script on it and put it in your Bible. And say, God, help me to be willing. Help me, the Lord, follow Your script. For Your honor, for Your glory. Maybe you need to get a piece of paper and write my script on it and tear it up. And say it's for Him. I want God's script. Would you say, God, this year is for Your glory. This year, it's all about You, Lord. This year, God, it's not about me. Lord, it's all about You.